I bring grace, mercy, and peace to you this morning from God our Father, his beloved Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit who have gathered us in faith. Last week's Sunday, we celebrated All Saints Sunday. In our sermon, we talked about heaven. We talked about some of the things the Apostle John saw as he was escorted or ticking around heaven. And from Revelation chapter 7, speaking on the subject, rejoicing in the hope of our salvation, we talked about three things. And the first thing we talked about was the demography of heaven. And in that, we talked about how John gave a description of the kind of people that were there in heaven. He talked about people from every nation, every tribe, every language, every tongue, around the throne of God, just giving him praise and glory. In that demography, we emphasized this truth, that in heaven there will be only one race. One race, and that race will be the human race. So God is going to be bringing people into heaven from all around the globe. And this is why the church on earth is called the body of Christ. Here at Holy Nativity, this is just a segment of what is happening around the globe this morning. We are just a little segment of what is happening all around us today. And so we talked about that. The next thing we talked about was the declaration in heaven. And in that, we talked about how all peoples of the earth together is gathering and saying, declaring that salvation belongs to our God. And we emphasize that at this time, they have moved from the realm of faith and hope, and they have moved into the realm of fact. They are standing right before the throne of God. They are seeing this thing almost, I would say, in real life. This is not even 3D. This is real life. They are seeing God face to face. And then it all unveils. And the reality of this salvation that we had hoped for and the salvation we had faith in has become real before their very eyes. And so they are saying, yes, truly indeed, salvation belonged to our God. We talked about the demographic, the declaration. And lastly, last week, we talked about the dedication. And in the dedication, we talked about how the people in heaven are dedicated to worship. They are dedicated to worship God, worshiping God. That's what they do. Day and night, folks are worshiping God. And now some of us here on the earth, we look at something like this and look at how we feel when we come to church, how sometimes we don't even want to be in here. And now we're telling you that when you get in heaven, you will be worshiping God all your life. And you're saying that's going to be very boring. But let me explain to you that it's not going to be boring, because when you get to heaven, the Bible tells us that God is going to change your desires. Whatever your desire is here on the earth right now will be changed before you get to heaven. So if you love to eat, that desire for eating will be changed for the desire to worship. And if you love football, your desire for football will be changed to your desire for worship. Whatever it is that you desire us of on the earth here, God is going to change you so that you will desire the things of heaven. And we're going to talk more about that as we go through this message. So I believe that last week's message inspired us to think more about our future glory than thinking about the temporal that we live on now. We left here rejoicing within our hearts that when it seems like it is all over, it is not over yet. All right? It is not over yet. And in today's message, our Lord addresses another component of this heavenly experience that we talked about last week. We say, even though it is not over yet, but what will it look like as far as our relational ties are concerned? What would it look like when we get to heaven? Jesus is addressing this in this text this morning, particularly for those of us who are married or will be getting married, all right? He's talking to us this morning in this text. One of the questions I get a lot when I'm consoling a bereaved family, especially a widow or a widower, is, will I be able to see him or her in heaven? It's the question they're concerned with. Will we be able to get back together and bond together in heaven like it is on earth? And some of them would say words like, it is not over yet. We will meet again in heaven, and I love you, and we will be there in heaven forever and ever and ever. But when they say these words, it is true that we will be in heaven forever and ever and ever, and we will meet one another, but not in the context that we are here on earth. When we get to heaven, it's not going to be like it is on the earth. So people carry this mindset as they grieve the homegoing of their loved ones. Well, we find Jesus in this morning's gospel addressing the Sadducees, in regard to a question about marital relational ties in eternity. All right? He's addressing this question. The Sadducees asked Jesus the question about one of Moses' laws, which requires a brother to marry his deceased brother's widow if the widow did not produce any children while the brother was alive. And so, as the story goes, this particular widow winded up marrying all 11 of the brothers. And now the question is, whose wife will she be after the resurrection? And so before we get into Jesus' answer, let me first tell you about the Sadducees, all right? And the reason why I need to tell you about the Sadducees is because this question was intended to trap Jesus. This question that they asked was intended to trap Jesus Christ. They intended to undercut his authority as a true teacher of the word. And so they came up with a question that was very tricky so that they would have him cornered. And so this is where this question came from. So the Sadducees did not believe in the resurrection from the dead. This is why this question came about. They did not believe in the resurrection from the dead. The Sadducees and the Pharisees are two separate groups of people that are there in the Old Testament times. And so the both group were opposed to the ministry of Jesus Christ. But that both of them had different ideology as far as theology was concerned. So for the Sadducees, they get their name from the priest Zadok. All right, Zadox. All right, and you can find that in 2 Samuel chapter 15. If you read that story, you see where the Sadducees started from. They tend to be wealthy and politically well-connected during those days, and they accepted only the Torah as authoritative scripture. So what that means is the book of Genesis to Deuteronomy were the books that they believed in, the first five books of the Old Testament. They didn't believe in the books of the prophets. But the Pharisees, on the other hand, believed in the entire books of the prophets along with that of the Torah. They believed in all of that. And so this were some of the disagreement between the Sadducees and the Pharisees. But mainly, the Sadducees did not believe in the resurrection. They didn't believe that people would come back from the dead after they were dead. And this is why they were called, of course, sad, you see. And so let's move on. So going back to our gospel text, let's see how Jesus addresses this tricky question posed by his apostle. And as we do that, I'm going to bring this message into contemporary time so that you and I can benefit from the reality of this text. And so let's look at the reading again one more time. In Luke 20, verse 27 through 31, it reads, some of the Pharisees who said there is no resurrection came to Jesus with a question. All right. Teacher, they said, Moses wrote for us that if a man, brother dies and leave a wife but no children, the man must marry the widow and raise up offspring for his brother. Now, there were seven brothers. The first one married a woman and died childless. The second and then the third married her. And in the same way, the seven died, leaving no children. Finally, the woman died too. Now, then, at the resurrection, whose wife will she be since the seven were married to her? Now, this question, like I said, was intended to trap Jesus, trying to tell him there's no resurrection, because if it was true that there was resurrection, why would Moses say do this? And if they did this, now whose wife is this woman going to be? So you see now, there's no resurrection. Now, like Jesus answers this question, the first thing he addresses in the text is the taste of the temporal. All right? The taste of the temporal. In Luke 20, verse 34 reads, Jesus replied, the people of this age marry and are giving in marriage. Now, Jesus addresses here that marriage is an earthly thing. All right? So in other words, it will not be in heaven. Did y'all hear me? There is not going to be any marriage taking place in heaven. There will not be married folks up in heaven. And I think this should be a lesson for many of us this morning as we listen to this. And some of you are worried right now because you're asking the question, would I get married before he comes? I hope I get married before he comes because I want to enjoy the experience of marriage. But let me let you know this. This is a warning, and this warning should cause us to stop the grapping and whining and complaining and fighting in our relationships, in our marriages. All right, this is your only chance to celebrate this experience according to God. And so we need to stop the fighting and really get to understand what marriage is so that we can enjoy the beauty of this union that God has placed on the earth. This is a taste of, just a taste of the temporal. Is it when it's gone, listen, it's gone. It's not coming back. One of the reasons why we were designed this way is to meet the mandate of procreation written in the book of Genesis, chapter 1, verse 28, where God says to man, be fruitful and multiply. And in order for us to be fruitful and multiply, God had to design within us the desire to do that. And this is where this whole connection comes from. But in heaven, there will not be any procreation. There will not be people bringing forth children. There will not be any birth. All right? And so because of that, there will be no need for these connections, marital affairs, and all these things up there in heaven. And so we need to be very cautious. And while we are on the earth, I say it again, if you are in a relationship, you need to honor your relationship. You need to respect your relationship and try to get the best out of your relationship. And this is what God calls us to do. All right, I remember being in the grocery store, seeing an old couple cursing at one another in the store, just over trying to get some groceries. And they start cursing one another in the store. And I look at that, I'm going, oh boy, I wonder how long this has been going on for. If they have been going through this kind of life, throughout their life up to this point, what kind of marriage is that? All right? So God calls us to enjoy your union and make the best of it, make the best of every moment that you have while you're on the earth, because once it is gone, listen, it is gone. All right? So the next thing he talks about the taste of the temporal. Now he talks about the taste of the eternal. In Luke 20, verse 35, he said, but those who are considered worthy of taking part in the age to come is in the resurrection from the dead will neither marry nor be given in marriage. Here Jesus addresses the Sadducees' concerns. He tells them that this would not be an issue because when they get there in heaven, or those people get in heaven, all of the cares of the earth will be gone. They will be so busy enjoying the beauty of God's glory that they won't even have enough time to think about what happened down here on the earth. There will be no thought about the earth. There will be no missing of the earth or regrets when you get into heaven. All right? You know, there will not be any disappointment. There will be nothing that will cause any of us to sit in heaven and go, wow, I wish I was back down on earth. If this is what heaven is like, then I like to stay back down on earth like the children of Israel did when they were delivered out of Egypt. And when they had an obstacle on the way, they told Moses, you should have left us in Egypt. We're better off down there. You see, they had regrets along the path, even though they didn't know where God was taking them. But in our situation here, there will be no regret in heaven, folks. Nothing will cause you to even think about wanting to be down here on the earth at all. Nothing. Okay, so the second reason for this absence of earthly taste is the fact that God will change us. We will be changed. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 52, it says, "In a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed." Look, when the Bible talks about this change, it is going to be a change that is going to affect not just the body, but it's a change that's going to affect also our minds. All right? God is going to totally change us. Why? He's changing us to be able to live in the environment that he's going to put us in. So when a man leaves the earth and is going up to space, he has to dress in a particular kind of space suit to be able to live in that environment or survive in that environment. So when God is taking us up in heaven, he's going to have to design us in a way to be able to fit for heaven. Your mind is going to be changed. Your body is going to be changed. There's going to be a total transformation that is going to happen when we leave from here to go to heaven. We will be so overwhelmed by the taste of eternity that we won't have time to even think of where we came from. You won't be able to think about it. And so it's like a newborn baby coming into the world. When the baby is in the mother's womb, there's a totally different experience up in the womb. When the baby comes on the earth, the taste for earth begins. And we see that at the very beginning where the babies begin to cry for food, all right? The taste changes. And so from that time on, the young little baby begin to thrive, to fit into society, enjoying the beauty and the benefits of life on the earth. And when the child becomes 2 years old, we call them terrible two because they do a lot of crazy stuff. They're trying to find out about things and investigate this and know about that. They're just enjoying the beauty of the environment. This is the kind of mindset that we would have when we get into heaven. After God changes your body and changes your mind, the things of earth will mean nothing to you, and all you'll be concentrating on is heaven. Give God a hand of praise this morning.